have roll call by the clerk, please?
Koch?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher is absent. Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Peterson is absent. We have a quorum.
Okay, we have six members present and a quorum. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay, excellent. Couple things before we go through the agenda. First of all, it's nice that we have six of us here, and it's very nice that we have Kat, your attorney, today. I appreciate showing up. It was very nice. Thank you to make the trek out here. Presentations. Well, we have a certificate of appreciation to Deb Horaz, but she said she's not going to be here, so we'll see if we can reschedule it. She's served for, what is it, 13 years on the different... Yeah, so we hope to have her at the next meeting, so we won't have it. Public hearings. We have no public hearings today. None whatsoever. Citizen comments on agenda items. If any citizens would like to speak, please step to the microphone and state your name. Seeing none, we'll move on. Oh, we have no consent agenda once again. Thank you. We have minutes from the regular city council meeting of June 25th, 2019, and from the regular city council meeting of July 9th, 2019. Is there a motion to approve both as presented?
Second.
I heard it first by Milshewski and a second by, was it Funkhauser over here? Any corrections, comments? All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, motion carries. Okay, next we have bill payments for approval from the current bill list. Payments for these amounts: $16,033.88 for FY19 vendors, $1,318,570.93 for FY20 vendors, $333,027.12 for payroll ending 7/12/19, for a grand total of $1,667,631.93. Is there a motion to approve?
Is
there a second? Second by Terulis, and the first was by Milshewski, again, for people who are listening, but not here. Any comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Excellent, thank you very much. Mayor's report. We have a couple items on the agenda and a couple items just to give you updates on. The first one is appointment to the library board. Is there a motion to approve the appointment of Julie Branch to the library board to a term ending 2021?
Second.
Transier, second by Koch. Any discussion? All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, and secondly, is there a motion to approve the mayor's appointment of Reagan Goins to the Unified Development Ordinance Advisory Committee? By Terulis, second by Funkhauser. Any discussion on this? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. Excellent. Now, for the long part of the mayor's report. So, a couple items. I can find my notes here. Oh, yes. I was just handed this by Rob. Thank you, Rob. Effective yesterday, well, that would be Monday, yeah, July 22nd, Fitch Ratings upgraded the city's general obligation, GO bond rating, one notch from AA negative to AA, which is excellent.
Excellent.
It allows us to borrow money for almost free. Rob said it wouldn't be zero, but pretty darn close, right, Rob?
Higher than zero, yes.
Yeah, higher than zero, excellent. A couple of things they cited are the city's improved financial resilience. Big portion of that is the general fund balance that's increased. And what are we up to? What was it, Rob? About 43% or something like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's excellent. You've all come a long way. And listen, I'd love to take credit for that in 2 months, but I really can't, so thank you all. Just not, I can't BS people that much. So, and then the solid revenue growth prospects due to continued population growth. And then we also have expenditure flexibility too. Is there anything else, Rob, that you wanted to touch on at all?
No, this is just our fourth bond. With Fitch over the last 10 years or so. We actually had 5 with S&P. So with both rating agencies right now, we are AA rated, and we're 2 notches away from AAA, which is the highest ranking. So as we continue to build financial reserves, hopefully over the next fiscal years, we'll get there.
Excellent. So thank you all for your great job. That includes the council, and the staff,
and of course the attorney.
Of course.
And the clerk. So thank you. So it's all teamwork. Okay, that was item number one. Item number two is, I know everyone's here to hear about the old jail. We will not be taking action tonight. Mr. Olson has been working with the proposer, and Mr. McKnight, and have gone back and forth on some things. I think Mr. McKnight's group went through the jail today and yesterday as well. They're getting some, just doing their due diligence. My goal is, and I hope Bart, we can still do this, is my goal is that we can have the back and forth finished, where we can bring this to EDC, correct? And then to the next city council meeting, so at least half of you will have seen it at the EDC, which might, you know, allow us to clarify some questions, and then bring it to the August 13th meeting. Is that a realistic goal?
It is.
So, any questions at all? Go right ahead, Mr. Funkhauser.
What would be the purpose of taking the EDC instead of just coming straightforward? I know there's a meeting in between our council meetings, but...
Just so half of the council can have a chance to digest it, and if there are any questions, that maybe it'll save us a little time. I think from my perspective, there was expressed by both proposers somewhat a bit of urgency back in May and June to just try to move this process as quickly as possible so they can get in the right way and make any improvements necessary. And my thought is, depending on what discussions come up in the next week, it could end up pushing back another city council meeting. But maybe if we have a committee meeting between, maybe can ferret out some of the questions and we can get those addressed by the August 13th meeting.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, I have nothing else on that. The next thing is Riverfest was last weekend. For those of you who weren't there, it was 2 weekends ago, right? Was it? Yeah. Yeah, it was. A week and a half ago. Wow. Okay. Time flies. Especially when you're having fun. So that was 2 weekends ago, and it was an excellent event. That's an event the Chamber puts on, but a lot of it, most of the groundwork was done by Tim and his staff, and they did a great job. The weather was great. The crowds were well-behaved, which I liked, and it was even nice after the last show. What was that last band that played? It was a country band.
Whiskey.
Yeah, Saturday. So I spoke to the band members after the last song on Saturday, and I said they did a great job. And the one individual, which I love to hear, because he lived in Naperville, or whatever suburb it was, wasn't Yorkville, wasn't even Kendall County. But he said, I love coming to the Crusade Burger Barn. I said, this is outstanding. It's just good for us to hear these people who come and get money from us and come back and spend money from us. But it was a great turnout. Everyone was well behaved. So, Tim, thanks for your staff's help.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And the final thing I have under my report, at least for now, sometimes I remember things later in the meeting, is, as you all know, I've selected a new appointment for the police chief's position, and I would like to have the vote on that August 13th, and that individual is Mr. Jim Jensen. Jim is back here. If you'd stand up, Jim, please, just for those who don't know you. So Jim, if you don't know much about Jim, I'm going to tell you a few things about Jim. There's probably a few more I'm going to learn in the next couple of weeks. But Jim is a Yorkville native, grew up here in town, went to school here. His wife, I don't know if I can say this now, but your wife went to school here. They actually met, I think, in high school. So they've been here their whole lives, never left. His kids went to school here, and they both graduated, right?
My son's a senior.
Senior, okay. I'm sorry, one of the two has graduated. And I think one of them plans to be a cop just like his dad. But Jim was in Oswego for, what, 26 years?
Yes, sir.
And 2 or 3 years with Kendall County before that?
Yes.
Yeah, so we had actually had some great candidates, but after going through the different candidates and talking to several of them, it became, the more people I talked to locally, it became clear that Jim is the choice. He's got the great background. He's always wanted to be the chief here in Yorkville, which I think is great that he wants to stay in the community and serve the community he grew up in, his family grew up in. So we're excited to have Jim, and he's going to be here August 13th, and we're planning on doing an open house from 6 to 7 before the council meeting, and then we'll swear him in at the meeting that way. So tell your family you've got to be here by 6, not 7. So Jim, we're excited to have you, and welcome again. Thank you very much. That is all I have for my mayor's report. We may, if you'd all like, move on to Public Works Committee report. And we have a PW 2019-28 plow trucks. We have a purchase authorization I suppose I should read that one, shouldn't I? Let me get the right page here. Got some bond stuff. Public Works, okay. Could I have a motion to approve a sole source purchase authorization for a new plow truck from Peterbilt for delivery in FY21 and payment FY20 and FY21 in amount not to exceed $225,000 and to approve an ordinance authorizing the second amendment to the annual budget for a fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2019 and ending on April 30th, 2020 and authorize the mayor and the city clerk to execute. Is there a motion?
No motion.
Is there a second? Bill Schuske and Cope. Bart, do you want to just give a brief synopsis of those, please?
Yeah, the actual action items in front of the city council are a budget amendment to accomplish the purchases, preload the purchase for extension of the lifespan of two trucks, and the actual purchase from Sourcewell, which is kind of an actual purchasing cooperative for a new Peterbilt plow truck. So we are not proposing to trade in any trucks at this point. So that would be one in addition to our current fleet. So we're hopeful the snowplow rounds this upcoming winter will be a little bit more friendly and better serve the additional truck.
Any questions? This does require, yes, please.
Oh, I wasn't at Public Works, so I was out of town, but I did go through the audio for it. I know in our prior meeting, we were talking about our two trucks that we were looking to acquire. We have the plow forward that we want to get two large plow trucks. And then there was some, bring back some more information, so that was done. And then we've got this one with the change. Instead of two, we're going for one. What's the thought process on repairing these trucks? I know they're quite aged. We're looking at $45,000 a truck to repair them for 3 to 5 years. Is the cost benefit there on these trucks that are upwards of 10 years old in terms of putting $45,000 into them as compared to going out for the purchase of our trucks that we've been told we desperately need? I guess what I'm getting at is we've been back and forth here and we need these trucks. We have to have these trucks in order for the plow season to be able to get done. Now we're looking at, you know, one truck and then we're carrying some much older trucks.
Yeah, we thought the cost benefit was there, and then additionally they can be repaired slash extended, whatever improvements are to them, by this upcoming snowplow season. Whereas a new truck is a 10 to 12 month lead time, and so we thought that it was important enough with the funds that we had available to do the repair improvements now, get those two trucks fully operable for this season and a few others.
Is this going to get us to a capacity where we can meet the demand of the plowing, which we did not have this past season?
Yes, the improvements to the two trucks should fix some of the breakage issues we saw this past winter where some of the trucks at one point like couldn't plow or they couldn't salt, so we were a little bit hammered there. And with the purchase of the new truck, so for next snowplow season, we'll have basically 9 plow truck routes and 9 large size trucks, and we won't have to do like a dual route with 2 of the smaller trucks. So it won't help anything this year other than provide better reliability, but for next year it will greatly improve it. And so the intent was is to go back and take a look at our fiscal year needs and budget numbers in the fall, potentially order a second one for next year.
So for this season, this snow year that's going to come up, we're going to have just great reliability of our equipment. That's all we're doing for this year is putting some money into it, hoping that everything works the way it should. Keeping all those trucks up, because I think at one point we had 3 trucks down at one time.
Yeah, there was one that was fully down, and then there were 3 that were like half down.
Yeah, so that compromises our ability to service the community.
Well, to be clear, Mr. Funkhouse, to be clear, if we order all new trucks,
right,
we're not going to get anything this year.
Yeah, we ordered the 2 trucks for the $400,000. We're not getting either one this year.
Right.
Even the 1 truck that we're going to purchase, we're not getting this year. I just want to make sure that what we're doing with the money is going to get us to where we can provide the service we need to provide to make sure we're plowing the streets this season.
Well, the department head's not here.
I know he's not here.
But to be fair to him, he said he's got 7 or 8 trucks that he'd like to replace, but
right.
At $200,000 a piece, I don't think anyone's counting. We're just not going to do it. So we
but is the $100,000 we're putting into these two trucks plus the $200,000 worth
pushing to a next year's truck? Would that $200,000 be, you know, maybe better served right now to put towards repairs of other trucks? And then as soon as we know our final numbers on the budget, do we then look to see, do we acquire two trucks?
That's a great question, and that question was asked. Are there other trucks that you think could be extended? And he said the others, you know, are just, he didn't feel it was necessary or it was wise to put additional monies into those to extend them. So that question was asked, because if we could have done all six or whatever, seven this year.
We could repair them to get them serviceable for this year.
I would consider that, but he didn't feel it was money well spent. Okay.
So we'll get the two that we can get repaired, get another one in one.
Yeah, and hope for the best, yeah. And that's just, okay. And you know, let's face it, last year was kind of, you know, we had a month and a half where it was pretty mild, but then boy, it hit it real hard. So, you know, part of it depends on the weather. You know, if we have a mild winter, we might be fine. So, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is I like it that this way it'll be budgeted. Come, you know, the new truck will be budgeted in the next year's budget. It's almost like guaranteed in the budget. So that's kind of what I like about it.
Yeah, and part of it will pay this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then part. And then did you mention, you maybe did, I don't remember all this conversation. Depending on how the building starts coming in, the budget, the money comes in for the building fees, we might be able to look at later in the year, you know, addressing another one for next year too. Because again, being a 10 or 12 month lead time, if we address that in, you know, October this year, we'd still have time for the following winter. But we're not committing to that now, but it's something we might consider in the future. Yeah, we know, everyone knows there's a lot of capital needs. You know, the trucks are one, you know, the small trucks are one, there's, you know, cars for parks and rec, and I think you want to get like six or eight of those, didn't you, Chris? So anyway, there's a lot of capital needs, and I appreciate everyone having a discussion. So does that answer your questions?
That's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any others? Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you. Next are the Water Department reports for April, May, and June 19. Well, let's just FYI to accept.
Yes, we generally do not go to
the second. Okay. Go in there.
Yes.
Any questions? Oh. Okay, well, that was a motion, Ben.
Okay.
They used to be under consent.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess we're going to vote on them then.
There's a motion, and we didn't used to do it.
Touche, right? Well, that was a motion by Mrs. Milshewski. Was that a second, Mr. Koch? I heard a yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now any discussion? Okay, there's a motion second. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, the next one, we're going to take a motion for that one. Okay, we have a motion for acceptance of public improvements. So I would accept a motion to accept the public improvements in water main and sidewalk. It described the bill of sale for ownership and maintenance by the city and authorized release of existing security upon receipt of maintenance guarantee in amount of $3,778, subject to verification that developer has no outstanding debt owed to the city for this project and subject to receipt of a signed bill of sale. Is there a motion?
So
moved. By Milshewski. Second by, who is that, Funkhauser? Oh, Cerulis, I'm sorry. Any comments or questions on this one? Do we need a roll call on this?
Yes.
Roll call, please.
Thank you. Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much. Okay, now this one I definitely know we need a roll call on. Okay, the next item is PW 219-49, repiping of water main demolition of well number 3 building, change order number 1, and Barb will explain this in a moment. Is there a motion to approve the repiping of water main and demolition of well number 3 building, change order number 1, and authorize mayor to execute?
Hello.
I don't. Milshewski and Transier?
Second.
Excellent. Bart, could you explain, please?
Yes, this is the final balancing change order for the demolition of well 3, which is the well and pump station West Alley in the downtown area. The change order is based on quantities measured in the field. It decreases the overall contract amount by $14,000 or so.
Any questions? Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next is Public Works 2019 50, 50, sorry, not 50, 50. I would accept a motion to approve the resolution approving, an intergovernmental agreement between Kendall County and the city relating to the asphalt servicing of Mill Road and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Mel Schuiski? Second, was that Funkhauser? Okay, man, we are rolling over there. Okay, and just to give you all an update on this, the county approved this IGA last week. They are expecting to have bids open, I believe it was April 9th, the second Friday of the month. Is that the 9th? Whatever that second Friday is. August 9th. And so we'll know the number on that day. This just approves a IGA, and if the number comes back and we don't like it, we can just tell them we don't want to do it, but this, you know, allows us to proceed with this. Any questions at all? Can we get a roll call, please?
Mel Schuiski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Public Safety Committee Report. Seaver, you want to do this?
Motion to approve an ordinance amending Title 3, Chapter 13 of the Code of Ordinances, resale dealers, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second? Second by Mel Schuiski. Is there any discussion on this?
I have a question.
Please.
Has anyone heard from Target about the proposed amendment since we had a public safety committee meeting?
Since then.
This was kind of dealing with them taking used electronics that they're reselling.
Not since the meeting. And I believe their answer prior to the meeting after we initiated contact with them was that they would make a decision at the time based on the regulations that are in place at the time they chose to. So they couldn't, the consultants who looks at this on Target's behalf couldn't give us a definitive answer.
And, Mr. Koch?
Really, Target is the main one of this category, right? Everybody else is under it.
As far as I know, but it would apply to anybody who takes in more than $1 million in sales and does a trade-in. So that could be, you know, any of the other large box stores in town.
Just point of clarification, and I know I've asked this, and I don't remember the answer. Is it more than $1 million total sales or of trade-in sales?
Total sales.
Okay. So even if they did $100 in trade-in sales?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Funkhauser, do you have a question?
I do not.
You sure? You have that look like you want to ask something.
This is one I'm very hesitant on. We've had some additional language put in here since this has been discussed. That language does help me get a little more comfortable with this. I am slightly hesitant, but the intent of this, I think, is well intended.
Is it better than nothing, in your opinion?
It is.
Okay.
If we do nothing on this one, we have potential risks that we're trying to mitigate. That's the whole reason for having the offer for resale dealers ordinance in place. So while I'm still a little hesitant, the fact that Target hasn't come out, you know, blasting us on this or any other businesses that are out there that would fit this criteria have blasted us, not as concerned as I have been before.
Okay. Other questions or comments? We'll do a roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Mel Schuiski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Motion to approve an ordinance amending the Yorkville City Code Liquor Control, change of general manager fee, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Someone other than Jackie. Does anyone make a second? Mr. Koch. Got to get them involved over here. Okay, any discussion, question on this? Bart or Lisa, whichever one. This just changed it to $100 from what was it, $350?
Yeah, in practice, we've always collected $100 for a change in general manager fee when we amended the code last year. Ostensibly, this got put in there as $350, so we prefer to just change it back to what we had previously collected.
No further questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Mel Schuiski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And I must say, we did not have an EDC committee report. That's why I skipped it. I don't know if we wanted to give an EDC. Well, I think that's running out real quickly here.
I have no EDC report.
Thank you. And I see there's no admin committee report.
Right?
Yeah, we'll skip that one.
Awesome. Park board, anything from the park board? Excellent. Planning and zoning commission, we have several items here. Who wants to do this?
It's all yours.
I guess it's mine tonight. Okay. The Planning and Zoning Committee, 2019-15, and EDC 2019-52 ordinance approving the rezoning of R1 Single Family Suburban Residence District of the property located in the southwest and southeast corner of the intersection of East Van Emmon Street and Benjamin Street. Actually, I should say property is located at. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Funkhauser, you're all so excited to be here. Okay, this is the property on Van Emmon that goes up into, I forget, what is that new subdivision that's abandoned essentially?
Kendallwood
Estates. A new abandoned subdivision, as if we've not seen those before. But the two parcels on the corners entering the subdivision, they were zoned business and they want to go back to residential. So that's all this is. And it's obviously, it's consistent with the rest of the subdivision because the rest of the subdivision is R1 as well, is that correct? Excellent. So, any questions on that? Wow.
It's R2.
Oh, it's R2, thank you. Okay. Well, thanks for that clarification. Anything? Mr. Frieders, any questions? Okay. So, did we get a roll call or not?
We need a roll call.
Oh, did we get a motion, I should say?
Oh,
yes. We did, okay.
Well, it was
Ms. Oh, that's right, yeah, that's right. No, I'm just, I hear so much now. Okay, now we need a roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Could I get a motion to approve PZC 2019-17, EDC 2019-53, and ordinance approving the rezoning of the R2 Single Family Traditional Residence District and the granting of variances for the property located at 701 North Bridge Street?
So moved.
Mr. Transier? Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Koch? Thank you. And this is the property that is just north or south of the one we own on 47 North that backs up to the Public Works building. And Bart, help me out. What else do I need to know about this? Christy, I'm sorry. Christy.
This property initially was a residential property that was rezoned to a commercial property, and now we are seeking to rezone it back for residential to use specifically and exclusively as residential. So they requested a rezoning from its B1 to an R2, and then they are seeking a couple of variances to make it consistent with the R2 district. So there will be no physical changes to the building. They're just seeking a minimum lot size reduction, front yard setback reduction, and lot coverage increase.
I have a question.
Please, Mr. Transier.
Is it the same owner from the time it was changed originally, and then they want to change back? Because it was a business for a while, is that correct?
Correct, it was a business.
There was a law office in there, is that the right building?
I believe so.
All right, now she just wants to convert it back to us.
There were two lots.
Okay, and it just wants to be converted back to a residence.
Correct, to be used as a residence.
Please,
this question.
Is it the same owner?
Your question was, right. Was it the same owner?
Ownership hasn't changed.
From 2002, when it was originally a residence.
Originally.
Could you step to the microphone, please?
This is Ms. LeBrand.
Could you step to the microphone, please? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Margaret LeBrand. When I first bought the building, it was an attorney's office. So it was already its own service, and I used it as an office. And now we want to do this residential.
So you've never changed that?
I never changed anything.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
The variances for the lot setback and square footage, those two are, one was already a grandfathered setback, or it was a allowance, because there was 27 feet even before the IDOT table. So that went with what they were asking for front yard setback. The lot size, that was attributed directly to IDOT's table, so I don't know if that helps you. Maximum lot coverage, that I would say is mostly attributed to being a commercial piece. They had to have additional parking for that one, so they were compliant with the zoning that they have currently, but not with residential. The issue I have is the actual use being occupied right now as a residence. It's not permitted in that manner. This corridor, there's been not a lot, but there has been some changeover. We have property adjacent to this one that is, I know it's R2 zone, but it's actually, you know, municipal use, and it's a heavy use right there. We have multifamily on two sides. So this is one I struggle to follow through with a rezoning on this property. The variances are understandable, but not rezoning of this piece of property for the use as a residence.
Ms. Milchewski.
The house to the north of it, is it still residential?
I'm not sure what the use is. It is a residential building. And I believe the zoning is R2.
It's a double residence at all. So there are some residences there.
Any other questions? One thing, since petitioner is here, you are aware that we have the property just to the south, and there could be an entrance for trucks and something one day along there.
Did you see our
head there? I was driving over the other day, but I didn't drive through it. So, as long as you're aware of that, that could be an entrance. You know, I'd hate to have somebody come back 5 years from now and say, we didn't know there were going to be trucks, and now they're 4 in the morning.
There are actually two properties.
Okay, perfect. Any other questions or comments? Thank you for that. Do you have any other questions? No. Okay. Oh, that's fine. Just want to make sure. Okay, we'll do a roll call, please.
Frieders.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Nay.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. And the last one under PCC is PCC 2019-18 and EDC 2019-58 ordinance amending section 10.3.5b location and section 10.3.5bc time of construction regarding accessory buildings and structures of the Yorkville zoning ordinance and section 10.3.3a contiguous parcels to permit accessory buildings and structures to be built onto contiguous lots under single ownership. Is there a motion? Mr. Koch, thank you. Anyone have a second?
Second.
Mr. Transier, thank you very much. I will let Christy explain this one because she'll be much more eloquent than I will be. Thank you.
This request is simply stated that when property owners purchase a lot within subdivision, sometimes they purchase the adjacent parcel. Usually they use for open space. In our ordinance, we're not very clear as of now on how that open space can be used for accessory structures like a basketball court or a swimming pool. So we're cleaning up the rules to allow those that are under single ownership, that are contiguous, to be used for that purpose. And so they don't have to re-subdivide the site, consolidate the lots, they can continue to have these separate pins and have that accessory structure. The accessory structure will have to meet all the required setbacks as any other accessory structure. It has to be located within the rear of the lot. And additionally, staff is requiring that if they do purchase that adjacent parcel, that they have to install all the public improvements as any other building would, which would be the sidewalk and parkway trees.
Any questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
So we were requiring this to be in the rear part of the property without a principal structure once determining the actual length of the rear property.
Correct. So what we would do is we would, in the review, assume where a home would be, and then we would adjust the location so that it would fit in the rear. The purpose of that is that if the lot was ever sold to an individual in the future, that a principal structure could be sited on the property without having to do any
And the whole intent of an accessory structure is to be accessory to the principal structure. This creates a caveat that we allow a secondary lot to have no principal structure, period. It's secondary to a adjacent lot. The easiest solution on this is lot consolidation. If you think about this, if somebody does sell the principal structure, they move on, they still retain the property, it's no longer accessory to the intended use. How are we to monitor and make sure that this doesn't become a standalone parcel? Somebody sells their home, moves two blocks over, they keep this, they keep the basketball court, and they use it there. How are we monitoring and making sure that it's still accessory?
So the first part of your question was about this is not being an accessory structure. The ordinance would require that there be a home established and that some that it's occupied. So it would, in essence, be an accessory structure in all intents and purposes visually, except that on the plat you would have a dividing line. To address your second part of the question, how would we monitor that? Typically, permits are pulled for the structures that we are identified as an accessory structure. So you would have a permit pulled for a pool, fence. The only thing you would not pull a permit for is a shed that's less than 100 square feet. So we would know if someone were to come and try to build on the site, that there's a permit existing that is an accessory structure. We would document this when it comes in. What we're doing internally is documenting where we have instances where we have these sites that are joining and contiguous under a single ownership. Because we don't require any documentation to transfer a property, the only time we would be aware of this change is if someone were to come in and pull a permit for that property.
So we're more work and more headaches down the road after the fact. Once the permit is applied for, that's one thing. But after the fact, property transfers, since we don't have that information, this can potentially become problematic.
Just a point on the like the alternative of having them consolidate the lots. We've talked about that. It wouldn't require a zoning code amendment or anything. But the Plat Act would allow them to re-subdivide the property and create the lot at a future date without our approval. Thus, for like $1,500, somebody could create the same issue. Granted, that's a little bit of a hurdle. So we didn't feel that that was a steep enough or tall enough hurdle that it would prevent somebody from gaming the system that way and creating the same issue in the future.
You know, I'm looking at the list that we're put together for who allows this and who doesn't allow this and what caveats. What would be the rationale of not just having this as a variance as a special use? I mean, I know there's a fee to it, but.
Sure. There would be a fee to the public hearing process. I don't think either would rise to the occasion for variance because it is something that's being created by the homeowner, so it would not need to stand for variance. A special use would not be the best use. The special uses are identified as uses that are primary uses, basically, and that are similar to the home uses or whatever primary use of that zoning is. But I don't think that would be a wise use of the code. We do currently allow accessory structures to be located in required rear yards, so we do have that stipulation in our zoning codes. This is just a way to not have to require a homeowner to consolidate a lot through the process of the county, which would require about $1,500 to $2,000. It would alter the subdivision as the approved final plat, and it could be more staff work than needed. And we don't have a lot of these cases in the city. I'm only aware of three. Country Hills has two. So I don't think this would be burdensome on staff.
I wouldn't think so either. However, I just see there's potential for problems and conflict down the road. Personally, I like it as Plainfield does, case by case.
Other questions, comments?
I have a question.
Please.
You prefer to do it this way as opposed to looking at it on a case-by-case basis?
Well, this point, I still will be looking at it on a case-by-case clears it up in the ordinance, what is required and what standards need to be met in order for this to occur.
Of course, just so someone applies for this doesn't mean they're going to be granted this.
Absolutely correct.
Other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
That's 4-2. Attorney Orr, do we need 5 positive votes? Okay. Motion carries.
It's a text amendment.
Okay. Okay. City Council report. Oh, sorry. Thank you for that discussion. I enjoyed it, actually. City Council report, do you have anything else you want to add to the old jail discussion? Okay, excellent. City Clerk report?
No report, Your Honor.
Oh, I like it. Community liaison reports? Any? Okay. Staff reports, any staff reports?
No reports.
Nobody? Okay. Additional business, we do actually have an executive session too. Citizen comments? Oh, that's on the next page. Please state your name for the record.
Todd Miller, Yorkville. I'm a graduate of Kansas State. County in Kansas is Wright County. It's a county about twice the size of Kendall County for landmass. And by population, it's about the same as Kendall County, maybe a little bit less in size of population. The reason I bring that up is that Riley County has a county-wide police department, which is police is not only the county, but also Manhattan, where Kansas State is, and where there's a town that's where Riley is. I don't know, I forget what the name of that one is. Anyway, it's another small town. Anyway, the entire county is policed by the county, and the county enforces the municipal ordinances that they're responsible for. So I was going to suggest that Mr. Cassell has a great background with our county. Your new police chief has a great working relationship with him since he served under our current sheriff. So there's some synergies there. You guys are looking to build a police station or thinking about one, and that's going to be a costly endeavor. I was going to suggest maybe, thinking about talking to the county and seeing if there's some possibilities there. I know we have a lot of space over there at the courthouse that isn't being used. That's a secure building. There are some holding cells in that building. That how much space your police department would need, but there is quite a bit of room over there at the courthouse. It's basically not built out, but it's under a roof. It's got heat. It's got plumbing. But some of it hasn't been configured. So I don't know exactly how long it's going to take to fill up that courthouse, but there might be an opportunity there to talk about using some space over there, and maybe shifts could be run a different. I know since Sheriff Barrett's come on, they've gone to 12-hour shifts, and so I don't know what your department does, if they do 3 8-hours or whatever, but it could be scheduled where that 12 hours is offset. So anyway, I just think there might be some synergies there. Possibly you could have more patrolmen on the streets, probably a need for maybe less management. I don't know. Anyway, it's just an idea. I think that you might have some merit without having to fully build a police station just for the Yorkville itself, for a small enough county that the law enforcement, if Yorkville needs some help, the county comes. If the county needs some help, Yorkville comes. So, they back each other up already right now. So anyway, it's just an idea that I think might lead to some cost savings and possibly using some space that's already built that you, the taxpayers of Yorkville, have already helped pay for. And I'm just suggesting that there is some great working relationships already in place here between the county, your police department, and it's something that might be worth looking into. It's just an idea.
Thank you for your comments. Are there other members of the public like to speak? Again, just please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Lisa Melanzovich. I am actually going to talk about something in the jail.
Really?
Yeah. I made an observation. I was volunteering to help at the Riverfest, and I have noticed this several times in the past, but it really became apparent during Riverfest. There is a problem on 47, which everyone knows about the traffic situation, but I witnessed a semi running through a red light at high rate of speed at Van Hammond and 47. There were pedestrians everywhere for the event. Today on my way here, I saw the flashing crosswalk that is by the park of the gazebo on 47. And a motorcycle almost hit a woman with his child that was crossing with a bicycle. We really need to leave. There's a lot of speeding in the downtown, especially going in and going to the south as well. When you go over the bridge, it is posted 30 miles an hour. I never see anyone except for me go 30 miles an hour. Is there a way that we can get more patrol there? Or can we get the flashing signs and letting people know what speed they're going? Can we put maybe some kind of a trap up by the speedway there so the trucks that are coming down here start to slow down because they're going down a hill, but someone's going to get killed. It's only a matter of time. It's not if, it's when. There's a lot of increased traffic. School is about to start, and that scared me when I saw that woman just grab a child and almost get hit on my way here. So I just want to put that out there. I've been meaning to say something for a long time, but it's a definite problem. I mean, it needs to be looked at. I don't know what you can do.
Thank you for your comments. I like your shirt. Other citizens we heard. Or public comment. Citizen comments. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to executive session. And I don't know the legal jargon, but we...
And for purposes of personnel and litigation.
Oh, that's all. We need to read the cite, the ordinance or the statute. Okay, so I would take a motion for executive session for personnel and litigation discussion.
Sorry.
And this requires a roll call.
Yeah.
Yes, I started my training, by the way. Okay, roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Chanzier?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. We will go into executive session. There will be no action other than adjournment afterwards. You're more than welcome to stick around. Oh, there may be action. I lied. There may be action. So you two youngins apparently have to stick around. Is it? Okay, so under Planning and Zoning Commission, oh, we're back in session, sorry, at 8:24. Just right as I look, we'll switch it to 8:24. Amazing. So we're going to need to take another vote because I didn't make sure we did it properly.
A revote
on Planning and Zoning Commission. The second item, correct? BZC?
Correct.
Third item.
The third item?
Okay.
Why the third item?
It was 4-2. It requires an affirmative vote of 5 members of the board.
Ordinances require 5?
Yes.
Oh, not a majority of the quorum. Okay.
No.
So not only did I make a mistake, I made a mistake in what we're supposed to re-vote on. I told the wrong thing. So we're voting on number 3, re-voting.
We're re-voting. The vote is taken, and because it was only 4, your vote must be recorded.
So can we start from the beginning? Do we need another motion? Start with the
no, motion.
Mr. Koch made a motion.
Yes.
And Mr. Trangier seconded the motion. And again, this was for PZC 2019-18, EDC 2019-58, ordinance amending section 1035B, location, and section 1035C, time of construction regarding accessory buildings, and structures of the Yorkville zoning ordinance, and section 1033A. Contiguous parcels to permit accessory buildings and structures to be built on contiguous lots under single ownership. Okay, since we did the motion second again, are there any discussion points this time? We'll do a roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
You were.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. We're summing up.
Transira.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion carries. Yeah. 5-1. That is fantastic.
Yes, sir.
The record is now.
Okay. So, are there any other items of business? Now I will accept a motion for adjournment. Okay, we're adjourned, everyone.